text for this morning is found in the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me or to take a pew Bible. Typically, I would be reading from what I call my Forever Bible, the Bible that I use on a daily basis and here in the pulpit. It is an English Standard Version, but I can't bring myself to read the 23rd Psalm in the ESV, and so I've pulled out my King James, and it's how I memorize the 23rd Psalm, and it's how I want to read the 23rd Psalm. And so I'd like to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord Jesus, as we come before you in your name, and we hear your word read, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that you would speak specifically, Lord, to our confirmands, as your word sets the trajectory of their lives today and forever. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The reading of the 23rd Psalm elicits any number of responses. As I shared, I couldn't bring myself to reading it in the ESV. I needed to hear it in the King James, so strong is my connection with that text in the King James Version. I think that some of you might have a similar experience, because when we hear the 23rd Psalm, there's usually a few experiences or a few reactions that we have. One is familiarity. I'm familiar with the 23rd Psalm and the King James. At one time, Psalm 23 was considered the most recognized and most memorized text of Scripture in all of the United States. Not so sure if that's the case now, but one time it was. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, called Psalm 23 the pearl of the Psalms. It is that great, glorious center around which all the other Psalms orbit. If not familiarity, perhaps you have a reaction or a response of comfort. The 23rd Psalm is often read and shared in moments and times of need. And we as the people of God need to be reminded of God's care, God's love, God's presence before us as the good shepherd who leads us along the path. But I don't think I fully appreciated until studying the 23rd Psalm this past week just how much sacrificial imagery is in our text. It is a familiar psalm. It is a psalm of comfort, but it is also a psalm that speaks and highlights and italicizes sacrifice. And so for you 11 confirmands, as you hear the word of God today, and as we consider the 23rd Psalm, I want to suggest to you that it is a serious psalm, filled with serious life implications. It is not a children's story. It is a psalm by which we walk and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a psalm filled, as I said, with the imagery of sacrifice. There is a sacrifice, a sacrificial meal. There is a sacrificial road. And there is a sacrificial life. God is giving his word to his people. God is giving his word to you today. And he is describing you as sheep. And a sheep is an unmistakable and undeniable animal that God uses for worship. And you are called to be young men and women of worship. And you are called to be young men and women of sacrificial worship. God is calling your life and calling you to give your life over to Him. When we read the psalm, we adopt the sacrificial identity for ourselves. As you read the psalm, as we read it together, we say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I am His sheep. And He has given me a destiny. He has given me a purpose. He has called me to lay down my life and to worship Him." You are saying today, and God is calling you as His sheep, you are being invited to say, "I am prepared to die. To die to myself in order to live for Christ." This is not just an idea. This is not just an abstraction. This is not just a text that we write out and we stick on the mirror of our bedroom or our dorm room when we go to college. This is the paradigm of your life. You are called to be worshipers and to give your life over in sacrificial worship to God. You are called to walk a sacrificial road. The word paths in the verse that says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness," has the same Hebrew root for the word translated calf. Path and calf are linguistically connected. What is a path? A path is a way that is cut in the ground. As the calves are making their way, they cut a path into the ground. And they themselves are animals that are being moved along on their way to worship, to sacrifice. As they themselves are being cut and given over to God in covenant sacrifice and worship. You are sheep called to walk a path, a sacrificial road, where you give your life over to God in covenant union and covenant relationship with God. When we walk the path of God, we declare to the world, and you are declaring to the world today as confirmands, your desire for the blessings that come with covenant obedience. You are saying, "I am taking on the identity of a Christian. And if I am not faithful in my walk, in worshiping the Lord, following along the path, may I be cut in two, just like this sacrificial animal." It is a sacrificial psalm filled with imagery of a sacrificial life and a sacrificial road, but all leading to a sacrificial meal. He prepares a table before you. You are His. You are His sheep. You are called to follow along His path. But you know, and I know, and we all know that we will not follow the path. Why? Because we're sheep. And sheep go astray. Christ has remedied the situation. Christ has prepared a meal. You are walking along the path to enter into a banquet, to enter into the presence of Christ, who gives Himself to you sacrificially. God looked out upon all of the sheep, and one was chosen. One who enjoys 100% humanity and 100% divinity. Christ, who gives Himself sacrificially for you, in order that you might live. He is inviting you to a sacrificial life, down a sacrificial path, to eat a sacrificial meal with Him, in order that you might be nurtured, blessed, fed, in order that you might become all that God has called you to be. Now you think, and I think, we all think so often that sacrifice is only this negative thing. It only has negative connotations. When we sacrifice, we give something up because somebody else needs something. I don't eat in order that you might eat. But that's not what God is calling you to. As young confirmants, he's not calling to a life of deprivation where you simply lose everything. He's calling to a life of sacrifice in which your life is divided, cut in order to produce something that cannot be produced otherwise. Jesus gave his life. He died on the cross. He was crucified. He was buried in order to produce something. In order to produce the church. Adam, all the way back in creation, was alone. And it was not good. The only time God created something and looked out over everything that he had made and declared and decided upon seeing it, this is not good. It's not good for man to be alone. And so God put Adam in a deep sleep and he cut him. He divided him. There was a sacrifice in his life. And he took a rib out of his side in order to produce something glorious and great and wonderful. And Adam opens his eyes after God has brought about Eve and sees Eve and says, "Whoa, now, finally, I can be whole." God divides. He sacrifices in order to produce something. And God is calling you to a sacrificial life on a sacrificial road to go to a sacrificial meal in order that he might produce something in you. He is giving you to the church. He is giving you the church. And as confirmands, we have the opportunity to receive you as members of the church. And so the question is, will you stay on the path? As you begin your journey as mature young men and women who are being divided away from your youth, cut away from the foolishness of youth, and being brought into mature membership in the church, and as you have the opportunity to walk along the path in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come, the question is, will you stay on the path? We all know the statistics. Those who walk away from the faith in college. And usually that countdown begins after graduation from high school. But I've moved my evaluation and my calculation up just a little bit. I've gone back and I've looked at the statistics even here at Beverly Heights Church. I went back to the class of 2019, 8 confirmands were confirmed here at Beverly Heights. Only 2 remain. 2 remain in active fellowship and worship in our church. For there was a great sifting in the church in 2020. Not just in Beverly Heights, but all over the country, all over the world. Things were divided. And only 8 out of the 8, only 2 remain here. And so I've taken to counting only a few years and to ask, before you leave high school, before you graduate high school, will you be on the path? Christ died in order to bring you into his life. And he is inviting you to walk a serious and consequential path. He gave his life in order to give you something. His church. And in the church, you will find the fullness of life. In him, you will find the fullness of life. And you find that fullness of life in him in this place. And so I want to charge you with faithfulness. I want to charge you with fidelity. I want to encourage you in the days and the weeks and the years to come to stay on the path. And so to you, the graduating confirmands of 2022, to you, and as I call your name, I want to invite you to stand. Tora Simons, John Whitehead, Elise Parrish, Caroline Reed, Henry Kramer, Ben Tan, Jasmine Zhang, Elliot Bennett, Marcus Loises, Allie Wooling, Mary McElhattan. I want to charge you with the following. I charge you as Christians who bear the name of Christ, for he has called you to this path for his name's sake. He is giving you today, before God and before these witnesses, a name. You are called Christian. And I charge you as Christians to bear the name of Christ and to carry that name into the world and to stay on the straight path. I charge you to deny yourselves, to take up your crosses, and to follow him always. I charge you to live a sacrificial life and to grow in the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, for he loves you so that he gave his own life in order that you might live. He endured a sacrifice to give you life and hope and a future and eternity. I charge you that you might know him intimately as your Savior and your friend. I charge you with a life of obedience to Christ and to his church. I charge you to keep the vows that you will take today before God and these witnesses, for there is no private expression of the Christian life, and you cannot remain faithful to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ while neglecting your duties to his church. I charge you to delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows you and who loves you. I charge you to grow in your knowledge of him in order that he might order your steps so that you might gain a heart of wisdom. I charge you, as the Proverbs teaches us, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and to lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this class of 11 here this morning. I thank you for their lives among us. I thank you that each one of them have given a hearty confession of faith in you and have shared their desire to be a part of you, which means to be a part of a local congregation. Lord, we have invested in them because they are the future, leaders, future members of your church here or wherever they may be sovereignly scattered. I pray, Lord, that you would keep them on the straight path. I pray, Lord, that they would live a sacrificial life and that they would receive so much more than what they give, because you, Lord, are a God of abundant blessing. That you would pour out your heart, your love into their hearts this morning. That you would pour out your spirit over them. That you would indeed order their steps, that they might find themselves faithful by your work and your grace in their lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.